Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and good morning. Welcome to True Success Radio, broadcasting live from the WMGNA headquarters in sunny Farmington, Connecticut. I'm Daniel J. Friedman, your host and CEO here at WMGNA. We are excited to have Evan Berman, realtor, manager of William Ravis Broder Group in West Hartford, Connecticut, on the line for today's show, Ask a Realtor. And as always, I'm joined here in studio with my able-bodied producer, Melody Simpson. So good morning, Evan.
Good morning.
Great to have you. We'll start right off now with in the Northeast and in a lot of parts of the country as the school calendar winds down, it becomes buying and selling season. What do you see here, and what do your folks at William Ravis Broder Group, what kind of pin action are we seeing right now?
Sure. I'm happy to chat about that. It was interesting because over this past winter, we had a mild winter here in the Northeast, and the winter had some momentum to it. That led us into a pretty early spring market this year with sellers gearing up their houses, calling up and asking, what should I do to get myself ready so I could hit the market running? So we've had several months because of the good weather to prepare our clients to get their house in move-in condition, show condition, declutter, if you will, and it's proved to be very beneficial. The market is pretty hot right now. There's a pretty good balance of new inventory coming on the market, which is in line with properties going under deposit. So as we're seeing 10 properties come on, we're seeing 10 properties come off the market. So we have a really nice balance right now, and we've got some energy around the market, and we've got buyers that are feeling that the market conditions are good and things are moving.
Excellent. So the average list, once a property is listed, and how long are we seeing? What would it, so I am looking to put my house for sale. I happen to live in West Hartford. How long should it take for me to get offers if it's listed properly, et cetera?
Yeah, we call that average days on market. And the average days on market, the average days on market varies tremendously on many different levels. It could be price point. And I'll get back to your original question of how long you can expect, but it could be on price point. You know, is a $200,000 to $300,000 property hotter than a $700,000 or $800,000 property? And the answer to that question is yes. So price point is super important. Location is super important. Are you in a neighborhood? Are you near a park? Are you close to a school? Or are you on a main road? What kind of, do you have a corner lot? Are you on a cul-de-sac? There's lots of different factors that play in to the overall. So if you want to know what the average days on market is in a particular greater Hartford town, we're probably pushing around 60 days right now. Being said, and that's from listing live to going to contract, not to close, from listing live to going to contract. Then, you know, to get to close is roughly another 60 days or so.
Is that a good indication of activity? A 60-day average, taking into account all of the caveats that you mentioned. Again, we're looking at averages.
Correct. So 60-day average is actually a very good average because there could be a house that's overpriced. So if someone's house is worth $500,000 and the seller or the agent decides to list it at $600,000, well, we're 20% overpriced. That's going to drive our days on market, of course, up tremendously. So to see a 60 means that a lot of houses are priced right, buyers are recognizing that, and they're jumping on that. And a lot of that has to do with the spring market. I was, just a quick story, I was with an appraiser yesterday in a house, in a condo actually, and his comment to me was that over the last month or so, he has seen a lot of homes that he feels are underpriced because sellers are afraid of having it on the market too long and losing out on the buyers because the buyers are being particularly picky this year. In the last couple years, actually, buyers in our marketplace are being picky on what they're getting. So he's finding that a lot of sellers are underpricing their properties. And that's causing them to sell very quickly, and he feels that buyers are getting, quote-unquote, good deals.
Okay. All right. Well, let's pick up on picky buyers. But I want everyone to know that if you have any questions, we've got the call-in number at 646-668-8397. One more time, 646-668-8397. Call in, your chance to get your questions answered by someone who's at the top of the food chain, 26 years, getting it done on real estate. So picky people, they have a certain checklist maybe. What preparation then goes into homes to get them ready to be sold, keeping in mind that buyers have a lot of choices, even though things are moving quickly, there's a lot of homes for sale. What is it that people are interested in, and what does a homeowner need to do to meet that market and get their house ready to be sold?
Sure. And I'm going to, like we're talking averages, I'm talking generalization statements here. In a general statement, today's buyers are looking for a house that's in move-in condition. Because interest rates are favorable, a lot of buyers are willing to pay a little bit extra if the house is done, if it's got all the bells and whistles, the colors are right, the floors are redone, the kitchen and bathrooms are done, it's got a newer roof, it has central air. They would rather pay a little bit of a premium to have a finished product as opposed to having to reach into their pocketbooks and spend what they feel is their hard-earned money on updates to a house. So while inventory is moving...
So you're not seeing a lot of fixer-uppers is what you're saying in general. The standard purchaser, couple, single person,
right,
whatever it ends up being, doesn't want to go out and buy a house for a little less and fix it up. They'd rather pay a little more and have it fixed up. What in particular are you seeing right now that is catching the eye of someone? So again, example, myself, it's an older house. I haven't done a lot of significant upgrades to, say, the kitchen, the stove, the refrigerator. It's still working since I bought it, and that was some time ago. Would you recommend for someone like me to spend money, and where would you recommend that money to be spent on a house so I could get a good return on that?
Sure. Couple things. So as far as people buying fixer-up, a smaller segment of the market will buy a house that's fixer-up because they have vision and they've got the wherewithal to do it. If there's a house that needs to be flipped, if a house that's, you know, is in very poor condition, you might find 20 contractors or 20 investors bidding on that house so they can make it in move-in condition and sell it for a premium to those buyers. If you're a homeowner like yourself looking to sell, and I have an example of one I just did this week, I'm going to be putting a house on the market in West Hartford, and these folks went out last weekend and they bought stainless steel refrigerator. They didn't spend a lot of money. Stainless steel dishwasher, stainless steel stove. Now you walk into their kitchen, their appliances were older. They worked fine. They were older. They were unbalanced. They were discolored, but they functioned properly. They went in and put new stainless steel in. I was in their house last night. It looks like a totally updated kitchen. So just, they went out and spent $1,500, $1,800. And the kitchen looks really good. So a kitchen's a good place to spend money because that's the hub of the home. That's where people are spending a lot of their time, a lot of their energy. That's where the family's meetings. That's where you're having conversation. That's where you're dropping your keys off when you get home from work. That's where things happen. So kitchens are important. Bathrooms are important. One thing I always say to people, and this is kind of a canned statement that I say when you go into someone's house, and it's a true story, a little bit of paint goes a long way. You put today's coloring. I walked into a house that I have listed out in West Simsbury, and they had a very nice, large kitchen family room, but the walls in the family room were purple. They were tasteful, in line with Prince this week, and it was could have been attractive
Prince
to some folks.
Painted their living room purple. I like that.
But we turned it to a lighter, more of an earth tone-ish gray, and it looks much, much better. So they spent $600 to have this room painted, but in the long run, it's going to pay dividends to them. They're not necessarily going to see $600 back. It's not an apples to apples thing, but what they are going to see is more buyers interested in a buyer coming in and saying, okay, I don't have to do that work now because that work's already done. I'll buy this house because the work's already done. So painting is really important.
Okay. All right. Painting, kitchen, excellent. What about the exterior of the home?
Sure. So there's a couple things. Curb appeal is very important because people are shopping these days several different ways for a house, but they're doing a lot of searching on the internet, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But so the pictures and the appearance of the home are extremely important. If you see a house that's got a very stained roof, in our area, a lot of roofs get stained, especially roofs with northern exposure or tree overhangs. They're getting stained. They're not drying properly. It might not be a bad roof. It's just stained. Contrary to what some roofing professionals say, I often recommend that you hire a roof cleaning company that knows what they're doing. They put a little bit of chemical on there. They lightly spray it. It cleans the roof. It's like waxing your car. It makes it look better. It gives it a little bit of a shine. So cleaning a roof, if done properly, is a good step. Doing some landscaping, making sure your bushes aren't growing up over your windows so you don't have the natural light coming in. People want to see, you know, a landscape manicured house. And then, again, paint on the exterior or power washing if it's a vinyl or aluminum house. So any of the staining and discoloration goes away, because people, I said, they're looking multiple ways. They are they're looking on the internet at the pictures, but they're also driving by these properties. And when people drive by,
sort of like in a restaurant, people eat with their eyes, is what you're saying.
That's right. They eat, exactly. So they're driving by, and they might be excluding this house or taking this house off the list because the bushes are too big in the front of the house, and we want to capture them. So you only have one chance to make a first impression. And I would take advantage of that if you've got the ability to do so.
Okay. All right. So excellent. Great. We mentioned technology. Our technology applications like Zillow. What is your take on that?
Sure.
You know, a lot of folks, the first thing they'll say to us is they don't know how much their home is worth. When we do a review or we're doing an asset inventory, we will often go and say, here's what Zillow says. And they'll either say that's too much or, oh, my goodness, what are they talking about? And it sort of sets them into a panic if the number is lower than what they think the house is worth.
I would say Zillow is a good barometer, right? It's a good starting point. It's certainly not the end all. Technology is super important. Zillow has their program called a Zestimate. You know, my company website has something called their estimate. So there's lots of different ways you can get these, you know, algorithm, if you will, type estimates on your property. Sometimes they're close because now they've been doing it long enough that they're kind of they've never stepped foot in the house. They just look at they take a radius of your home from your home, look at other houses that have transacted. Looked at the square footage, but they don't know if you bought those new appliances last week, and they don't know if you've painted that purple gray, and they don't know what you've done in your house, so they can't put the real value on it. However, they can take a kind of a price per square foot estimate, if you will, and from that they put a value on the house. And
Go ahead.
So oftentimes these values are way off.
What'd you say?
Oftentimes these values are way off. I mean, I looked up my house not too long ago, and not being biased, I mean, I know my neighbor, I know my marketplace. They're off a good $70,000 on my house, and I know that for sure. I priced the house the other day out in West Simsbury, as a matter of fact, a couple nights ago, and Zillow was about $12,000 off, in my professional opinion, so it wasn't horrible.
So what do you do? So I show up. I want to buy your house. It's a great neighborhood. I know where Evan lives. I've lived in that neighborhood many moons ago, and I come up to your house and you have it listed for $70,000 more than Zillow, and I say, this guy's out of his cotton picking mind. Zillow's a disinterested third party. Hey, what's up with that?
So if you're an educated consumer,
if you're representing you on this sale, what would you say to me?
If you're an educated consumer, you know that Zillow just does their estimates. You know that they haven't been in the house. They know that they haven't seen the kitchen or the bathroom that was just redone. And of course, if you're doing bathrooms and things, it's very smart to pull permits because the mortgage companies look at this these days. So if you can do some major updates to your house, you pull permits. So a permit was pulled on my bathroom. I just did my bathroom. I did some other things in the home. As an educated consumer, you're going to know more about the location than Zillow is. You're going to know more about the school system than Zillow is. You're going to know more about the desirability of the neighborhood than Zillow does. You can know more about the inventory or the lack thereof it that Zillow does, which is going to help drive up the price. You can know that, you know, more that it's more moving condition than Zillow might think it is. All
so
those things combined.
You would point out the things that you would point out to say, hey, you know, that the square footage, you can't argue with that. It is an algorithm. It's numbers based. But here, we just did the bathroom. We just did this. The neighborhood, the Bugbee neighborhood, the King Philip. It's one of the top school systems in the area. So that's correct. That's how you would discuss that.
And also, there's a house down the street, for example, that they're comparing it to, that needs a new roof, that needs a new kitchen, that needs this and that. And that one, just simply on a price per square foot basis, which is just one way that we look at this, is priced significantly less on a price per square foot basis than maybe my house or other houses in the neighborhood would be. So Zillow's just looking at that, and they're taking their average. Just like the average days on the market, they're taking their average price per square foot, if you will. They might be adding a little – I don't know exactly how they do it, but they might be adding a little bit more for my house because it's got an extra bedroom or an extra bathroom. But if you dig down into Zillow's website, somewhere on there it shows you what their percentage plus minus is that they're off in certain marketplaces. So you can really see that they're – even though they're hiding it, they're telling you on their website that, we're just estimating. We could be off by 10-15%.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Well, the last thing on technology, what are some, how are sellers and purchasers using technology at realtor.com? What are some of the new things that folks are doing to get top dollar for their house or be able to buy the right house if you're a purchaser?
Well, technology is, 95%, and I don't know this statistically, but it used to be 92, and I'm thinking it's only getting stronger. 95% of consumers are starting their real estate search on the internet. So that's where I go back to, you got to, have one chance to make the right first impression. You got to be on all the technology out there. While I don't love what Zillow has to say, I have my clients opt into Zillow. My company doesn't automatically put your listing on Zillow, and a lot of companies these days aren't putting their listing on Zillow because we're kind of rebelling against Zillow because they don't have the right information. It doesn't always help the consumer, whether it be or the seller. But being on technology is important because that's where people look. They have apps on their phones, they have it on their iPad, and they're busy with their families. Let's say the average buyer is 30-some-odd years old. They're putting their kids to bed, they're having dinner, and at 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, they're getting on their iPad and or on their computer, and they're looking at houses online. They got to be able to find you. So or they're looking at an app on their phone.
So they go online, so I want to sell my house, someone's going to be looking online, what would you do? Obviously, there's pictures. How many pictures again? What's the main
Sure. Yeah, getting the maximum number of pictures is important. If you have one picture of your house or you don't have a picture of your kitchen, someone's going to think that something's wrong with that kitchen. They're probably just going to skip it over for the next one that has a nice kitchen. So putting your best foot forward, getting as many pictures as possible, having a thorough description of your property, let people have something to grab onto, let them kind of stick to that web page. Make the information that you put out there intriguing to people, so they spend more time looking at your house and they click over and they save it as a favorite and they click over the next one quicker because yours appeared better online.
Okay, so and we time flies when you're talking real estate. So the takeaway would it be accurate to say that online staging now is just as important, if not more important, than the actual physical staging of the house?
I would say. Absolutely. I mean, when I bring a photographer into a house to take pictures, I might move the dog bed out of the corner for the picture, but when we're showing the house, the dog bed might be back in the corner because that's how you're living. But you don't want online, if that dog bed's in the corner, that might distract the eye, or there's too many pictures and tchotchkes up on the wall, that might distract the eye. But when you come in there in real person, it's okay. But yes, you're 100% correct, Daniel, that it's got to be perfect online, or as perfect as you can make it for your online photos.
Excellent. A blog that I'm working on that we just I think that just went to press, and we're going to skip around here, is the mindset, and there were some numbers that came out from the Census Bureau on new home constructions, and they're significantly lower nationally, maybe not here in our area, than expected. But this rent versus home ownership. Used to be that we'd see a lot of people, they'd land a job here in the area, and they would pretty much stay in the area, and the reason that they would move wouldn't be work-related, it would be to upgrade. You know, they start off in a three-bedroom, and then all of a sudden, you know what, the two kids, maybe there's another kid they're going to come, or they just need more space. It seems now that this rent versus purchasing, what do you see? Are you helping folks with rentals when the situation, in your professional opinion, dictates that?
Absolutely. You know, first of all, a renter could turn into a buyer, but we're in a people business, so we want to help people get to a comfortable place. So if someone needs to rent, we help them rent. Maybe a year from now, they want to buy. What people are doing differently now than they were years ago is they come into an area and they want to get the lay of the land. They want to test the water. So a lot of times people are renting, or because they're so picky, as I said earlier, they can't find what they want. So like, you know what, let's rent for a year. Let's see what's out there. Let's take our time. There's no sense of urgency, generally speaking, for people. So they don't mind renting for a little while. From a financial point of view, that's where you come into play to see what makes most sense for them. So some people will it works better for their pocketbook to rent for a year, but build some equity or get their credit up or get the lay of the land, while other people just come in and like, I want to buy. I owned before, and I want to own now.
Okay. All right. Yes. Yeah. There's obviously a financial component. If you're no one likes to move every year or every couple years, but it's less costly when you're moving from a rental than selling your house and buying another house. Wouldn't you agree, Evan?
Absolutely.
Yes. And what do you see for the average age of buyers of homes right now?
You're really looking at, you know, so averages. Well, let me tell you the three segments that I'm seeing most of. I'm seeing the first time home buyers, you know, the 24, 25, 26 year olds who have been renting and have landed their job and realize that home ownership, you know, is affordable right now. I'm seeing
How much is that? What percentage of the deals that you close are those 24, 25, 28 year olds?
Sure, I'm going to say that I'm going to go a third, a third, and a third. So what I mean by that is
really?
A third of them are the first time home buyers. A third of them are people that are, you know, mid 30s that have already started their families if they're going to go that path, and going from their initial 1600 square foot house to their next 2500 square foot house, so that little upgrade. And then the first time home buyers, the young people are coming in and buying those people's houses. And then you've got the empty nesters, the downsizers, the people that are the kids have moved out and they don't need it, or they want to have a first floor bedroom. And then you have those people that might be going to their third home that are buying those $600,000 houses or $700,000 houses. And sometimes those are second home for people as well in our market. But you kind of have those three segments of the market, the first-time buyers, the upsizers, and then the downsizers.
All right. Well, along the same lines here of the buyers, what do you see as far as condominium purchases as opposed to homes? You mentioned someone downsizing one floor. So, you know, I'm in my 70s and I just, I'm fit and strong. We got a bunch of those folks. They're traveling all the time, but they don't want to do the snow removal, the maintenance of the property, things like that. What are we seeing as far as condominiums and what about the, you know, how are they doing on the pricing?
Sure. So 2 hours ago this morning, I had some people walk into my office. It was a young couple that are moving to the area because they're going to be in a three-year resident program at the hospital. They are looking to rent because they think that they're not going to be here in 3 years. Coincidentally, their mother came with them, and she lives in Hoboken, New Jersey, and she's going to be moving to our area because she has family here as well, and she's going to be buying a condo. And the thing that she said to me is, I want to live where I don't have to cut the grass and do the snow. I've sold my house in Illinois. I moved to Hoboken. Now I'm moving to West Hartford, and I've sold my tools. I don't want to do that. I'm at the point in my life where I don't do that. So there's a demand for condos in this area. There's some new construction condos going up in the area, and people like those a little bit more. I'm finding this area a little bit more urban feel because they want to, you know, they want to be able to walk to the supermarket or walk to a market or walk to get a cup of coffee. So, you know, while there's a condo fee associated with it, sometimes that balances off with lifestyle. You don't have to cut the grass. You don't have to worry about your roof. And you know, and all you do is come home and, you know, do your thing in your house. So condo sales are certainly fairly strong right now. And I'm seeing that with younger folks too. Younger folks that are single or busy and don't have time to deal with the things that go with home ownership on the exterior of the house. They'd rather, you know, pay a couple $300 a month to have someone do it for them.
Sure. All right. In our waning moments here, what are some of the hurdles in how should folks adjust to that with bringing deals to close? What are the, you know, the three most important things to, if you're selling the house, to make sure that it closes, and then the three most important things if you're a buyer to make sure that the deal goes down?
Sure. Well, as a seller, you want to make sure that you price it properly and you listen to a professional's opinion to who understands the marketplace so the house is priced properly. You want to make sure that the house is in showing condition, which will get it sold, which will help get it to closing. And you want to make sure, oh, you got me on the spot here, you want to make sure that that you make it available for people to see because, you know, today's busy schedules, people want to see it on their time schedule. You talked about hurdles, you know, during the process, and this goes for buyers and sellers, during the process we go through home inspections. We got to make sure that things are in proper working order, you know, that the house are structurally sound, the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing are in good shape. We got to make sure of all that. If a buyer comes into a house and there's a bunch of outlets that don't work, as a seller, the buyer may say, I want those fixed. The seller may say, no, I'm going to turn to my seller client and say, you know what, the next person is going to want it fixed as well. Let's do the right thing and get those fixed. Anyone's going to want working outlets in your house. I just picked on outlets because I was looking at an outlet in my office. Goes for lots of different things in the house. You have to make sure the house appraises. So it's got to, you know, the bank has to come in and make sure that the value is actually there. So, again, pricing your house properly is an important part of the process. And just keeping the communication alive, you know, it's a big decision. It's an emotional decision for a lot of people. I try to have people check the emotion at the door and let's get the business done. You can enjoy the emotion when you get the keys and you move in, or you can enjoy the emotion when you hand the keys over and move out. So from a seller and buyer's point of view, but let's put the emotion aside and let's let the business, you know, let's follow the right business model to make sure that we get this done.
All right, excellent. That's right. Never get emotional about real estate. It's from a movie, I think. All right. So the takeaways then are to price it right, and often we see that people frustrated, they're looking to move or make a deal, and we say, well, no one's, they're getting a lot of showings, but no one's making an offer. So that might be an indication that's not priced right, correct?
Correct, yeah. Buyers are smart these days. They've got tools at their fingertips, and they use them, and they know what the right price is. So pricing your house is right is super important.
So that may be the number one thing with all this information out there. It's always about the money. It's always about the price. So we have a minute and a half left. And we're in the money business. It's always about the money. So meet with someone who's going to give you this straight deal. It's to say, hey, here's what your house is worth. You may think that your new workstation you put in your garage is worth $10,000, and you may,
right, exactly.
The real estate professional may say, no, here's what the house is worth. So, all right, Evan, are there any closing comments? And if people want to chat with you about buying or selling a property, how do they get in touch with you?
Sure. My phone number is 860-313-1300. That's 860-313-1300. My name is Evan. I'm happy to help anyone with any questions. There's obviously no obligation. I'm here to give advice and help. And then I would say the closing statement is make sure you hire someone who has your best interest in mind. Make sure you hire someone that's going to tell you the truth. Sometimes people tell you what you want to hear, and what you want to hear might not always be what reality is in the marketplace that you're living in, working in.
All right, excellent. I think we're right up against the clock here, Evan. Thanks again. And if anyone has any questions, I can get it to Evan, daniel@wmgna.com. Evan, have a great day. We'll talk soon, my friend.
Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.